I had this extraordinary experience. I was in Guatemala for the SEVA Foundation. And we work in these villages up in the Altiplano that are villages where these Mayan Indians live that are extreme. I mean, when you'd meet one, if you haven't, you see somebody who is still simple in the true sense of simplicity, of connected, of there, like trees and rivers. And these villagers, many of them have been murdered. Mostly the men, the husbands and the sons, have been murdered. By the army, and in the violence that happened a few years back, and the army was in the service of the wealthy people, which is about 4 or 5% that controls about 80% of the land. So that all these Mayans who were starving to death have nothing, and they keep banding together to figure out what to do about it. And our government, of course, backs the wealthy people against this communist threat. So now that it isn't a threat, maybe we'll reconsider our Central America policy. But at any rate, there I was in this village where all the people were sitting in fear. We were helping them with water supplies and tool banks and the stuff of getting their life back together again in a way that is respecting of them and joining with them as family members and so on. And I just, I mean, these are my people, they're my friends. And they are sitting, waiting, frightened that the rich are going to come in and murder them again. And I flew from there to Hollywood, where I had an appointment. And I found myself in, I think it was Brentwood, which is a kind of a posh suburb, like near Beverly Hills. And as I drove down this street, there were all these huge estates, all with walls. There were no people on the street, just these walls with electric gates, with electronic things, devices. Just going down all these fortresses, one after another. And on the lawns of each one, the security department had put the same sign. It was red with black lettering, and it said, "Armed Response." And I thought, isn't this bizarre? I just came from a place where the poor are waiting for the rich to come in and murder them. And there are an awful lot of people who are in the have-not class, and it's growing all the time because all the multinationals and all, there's a redistribution, so fewer and fewer people are controlling more and more of the resources. That's all based on outdated myths, a dysfunctional cosmology. It's time for a paradigm shift. One of the things that's so profound about the moment we find ourselves in, besides this instability that that our economic situation has created, and the uncertainty that our exploitation of resources has created ecologically, but politically, it's all up for grabs. Extraordinary. And that's one of the interesting doorways in, because what happened, I mean, we've suddenly got all these new role models. Have you noticed? We have President Havel of Czechoslovakia. We have the Dalai Lama, great politician. People said, "Aren't you angry at the Chinese?" He said, "No, that wouldn't be functional." We have Nelson Mandela. We have the student in front of the tank in Tiananmen Square. We have Mother Teresa. I mean, we have the emergence of a lot of role models or myth figures or whatever for a shifting understanding of it all. But how exciting that all those governments in Eastern Europe who were repressed for so long and suddenly realized that the institution they were repressed by was a creation of mind, and their heart rose up and said, the mind is off the wall, baby, and they're going at the wall. Literally. It's nice. I mean, I thought the wall was real, didn't you? Did you know it was just made of paper mache? But all of them then said, well, now what we'll have is democracy. And then they said, well, what's democracy? It's interesting. So we had all these, we have all these space bridges. Our people meet with their people, and they say to us, what's democracy? You people are democracy. But as we examine what we are in the mirroring of what it is they're yearning for, it's interesting what we're seeing about how we have interpreted democracy. Because when the top of the pyramid isn't connected to the bottom of the pyramid, democracy starts to be a system based on units of consumers. It's an economic unit system. And the social and the moral and the idea that every being in a social system that's a democratic system should have the opportunity to realize their fullest potential. Boy, we certainly offer inner city kids a lot of chance to realize their inner potential, don't we? Have you noticed lately? Well, they're not really members of society. I mean, we don't mean them. We mean us. The mind gets frightened, it contracts and contracts and contracts. Remember that delicious story, I think I told it last time I was here, but it's so good, about my friend Milton Friedman, who the one who's not the economist. He was a speechwriter in the White House, this one. And one day he got a telephone call. They said, Milton, Dr. Friedman? He said, yes. And they thought it was the other Dr. Friedman. And they said, we're a church in California, and we've got a lot of money in our treasury, and we wondered if you could suggest how we should invest it. So my friend Milton said, have you considered giving it to the poor? And the guy on the other end of the phone said, is this the real Milton Friedman? And Milton Friedman answered, yes, is this the real church? You can't believe the conversation I had with the elders last evening, two nights ago. I can't believe it either. They said, we don't want you to do any religious practices in our church. I said, I understand. I guess they meant like killing chickens or, you know, whatever you do as a Hindu, you know. So I said, well, I usually after intermission, we do a meditation in which we then do... we send loving kindness thoughts to beings all over the world that are suffering. Would that be all right? We'd prefer you didn't. Wow. Christ sure has his work cut out for him, doesn't he? Well, he created it. Let him enjoy it. There is a certain lightness that comes with seeing that the game is only a part of the reality, seeing relative reality. Wavy Gravy, my great wise buddy in Seva, he has reminded us, he said, that if you don't have a sense of humor, it just isn't funny.